want to pick up where we left off the week before. We started talking a little bit about increasing our capacity. And I left you with one little question last week. If Jesus, why don't you go ahead and go over to Luke 2:52, and this is what based that question. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Also in 1 Samuel 2:26, it says, now he's talking about Samuel here. Now the boy Samuel was growing in stature and in favor both with the Lord and with man. And I left you with a question a few weeks ago. If Jesus had to do it, and the wisest man that ever lived had to do it, do you think it's something we should start to apply in our life? Absolutely. I figured that would be the answer. I want to start to walk down the road in this area. Jesus, according to Luke 2:52, Jesus kept increasing in his wisdom, stature, favor with who? With God and with man. We have this idea that Jesus just popped up and he was all powerful and the Son of God. That's not true. He was under the same covenant we were. He was not endowed with power here on earth. He had to grow in wisdom. He had to grow in his understanding of God. Otherwise, if he was all God while he was here, the sacrifice wouldn't have been even. You understand what I'm saying? He couldn't have went to the cross because he had to be all man. So he had to be able to be tempted. He had to be able to be exposed to the elements or life like we would be. Otherwise, the accuser is the devil, in heaven say, wait a minute, this isn't a fair comparison here. You gave him special favor. What I'm trying to get to is he had to start at the same starting point as we did. We all start at the same point. Now, that being said, and we're going to see this in Scripture, that he began to grow. Go into Luke, and I'm going to go back up into this little chapter in Luke 2. I want you to see the whole picture here. It says in verse 39, the family returns to Nazareth. They took a census back there, and everybody, not like today, where when they take a census today, they come to your house and they count the number. Back then, every person had to go back to where their family was born. So they were on their way back to Nazareth. They were living in Galilee. They had to go back to Nazareth. It was during the Passover. They went up there. They did their little counting, and they were on their way back. I'm just kind of going over all these little verses here with you. And they were at this big festival. Now there's thousands of people in town, and they take off and they leave, okay? They didn't have Suburbans back then, so the kids weren't all packed in the back. They were all kind of walking together. Mary and Joseph, well, Jesus must be over with cousin so-and-so or uncle so-and-so traveling with them. So they got out about a day's journey, and the kid didn't come home for dinner. It was a rough night that night. Now, he was gone for about 3 days, they say. So it was one day out. Then Joseph and Mary had to walk all the way back to Nazareth. And then the following day, they found him where? In the temple. They come walking in, and this is what they're saying here in verse 47. He says, well, let's go back to where Jesus was. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now, so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them. Now, I want you to understand that. I mean, these are not just words put in here. He was listening to what? Instruction. So he was learning. He wasn't up there teaching. He was learning. Both listening to them and asking them questions. There's a key. If Jesus had to do it again, don't you think we should be doing it in our lives? As you're reading the Word of God, as you're going through life, you better be listening to the wise counsel around you, and you better be asking questions of your Father. That's why he gave the Holy Spirit into this earth, to lead and to guide us into all truth. But you better have your ears on to listen. If Jesus had to do it, we must do it. Amen? And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Now, I believe he was a quick learner. They started teaching these kids the Patriarch, which is the first five books of the Bible. They basically had to memorize those books. So I truly believe by the time he was 12 years old, he probably had those five books memorized. memorized. I mean, he had to have to get the wisdom that he already had at 12 years old. Remember, he's only 12 years old. He's JD's age. You know, I can liken that to that. So when they saw him, they were amazed. You know, his parents were sitting in the back, and they walked in, they see him, they're watching, they're comprehending what's going on. They're like, wow. And they were amazed. And his mother said to him, son, why have you done this to us? I mean, that's the mother's first reaction. Kid, where you been, man? You disappeared at Walmart. Think the fear that the mom had. And the father, I'll be honest with you, if you ever lost a kid, which I have. you just turn around, they're gone, you know. We're in the toy aisle. Well, I'm in the auto parts and he's in the toy aisle, so I don't know. Why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. And he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? But they did not understand that statement which he spoke to them. They didn't comprehend it, okay? Hey, my kid disappeared. Now he's sassing me. That's kind of what they were thinking, okay? Then he went down with them to Nazareth. This is really good. We talked a little bit about this Thursday. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them, but his mother kept all these things in his heart. Subject means he came under their authority. Think about this the next time you're barking about your boss, okay? My boss is my wife, so I can say that. He had to come underneath authority. He just wasn't out doing his own thing, guys. He came underneath the authority, including the authority of the temple at the time. He subjected himself just like we did. And then he gets into an increase in wisdom, stature, and favor. So we see that wisdom is the combination of increasing our capacity of understanding, insight, and knowledge. So Jesus, I'm going to put this right in context. Jesus grew in how and what actions or decisions he would make by applying his knowledge of his Father. And we see that all through his ministry 18 years later. Let's say he was 30 years old, give or take a few years. 18 years, he said, I never do anything that my Father has not first instructed me. I only speak those things that I hear from my Father. So what were those 18 years doing? He was developing in how he heard the Father. Amen? There's a couple things that I want to get real clear real quick. Because we see this within this scripture. Because he was 12 years old there, and he didn't start his ministry until he was approximately 30. So there's 18 years there that he had to develop. When I was studying this, I want you to understand, expanding and growing in the things of God is a process. You don't get it instantly. Yes, the minute you're born again, everything is put into you. You've got to grow. It's a process. It took Jesus years to develop the wisdom and the stature and the favor of God and man. He just didn't pop, ooh, hey, ooh, I'm here now. And we see this, that he really didn't start his public ministry until when? After he went out to John. Remember, he had to submit himself to John and be baptized. And what did he say to John? Because John's like, wait a minute, you should be baptizing me. And he looked at John and said, no, it's got to be done this way because this is the way it's in order. And then what happened at that? That's when he received the what? The power of the Holy Spirit. And there's where the ministry started. That's where the power ministry started. It wasn't until he was endowed with the power. Same thing with us. What I'm trying to get at is that growing in the things of God is a process. It takes time. It takes chewing on things. It takes falling down, dusting ourselves back off, getting up and starting again. Amen? We don't turn into Superman the minute we get born again. Jesus was subject to them in verse 15. Well, we talked a little bit about this Thursday. Jesus came under authority. That's what it means, subject there. It means came under their authority. So basically, he was submitted to his mom and dad. In the Jewish culture, the head of the house is the father. The minute the father dies, the first son takes over in authority. So I don't see it in Scripture, but I don't think Jesus could even have started his ministry until then because his father was still there. Once Joseph died, then Jesus could assert his authority within the family unit itself, and then he could actually start his ministry. We see a little bit of that through the Scripture because when he was out doing ministry, he looked at his disciples, take care of my mother. You know, basically, he asserted his authority as the eldest son to the disciples to take care of her. One of the disciples was his brother, his younger brother. So there's a lot in there, and I'm not going to create a doctrine on it, but until Joseph kind of got out of the picture, he passed away, Jesus really couldn't have asserted his authority within the family structure. Because remember when they came to him, hey, the guy's out of his mind. Well, who did they get? His mother and his brothers to come back. Hey, the guy that's running the family, he's cuckoo. He's raising people from the dead. He's healing people. This guy's nuts. And then Jesus basically denounced that family structure. Hey, I'm going a different way. That's just all free and extra. Okay. What is the value of wisdom? Go with me over to Proverbs 3, 13 through 18. I'm going to read it. Is it in the Amplified? Good. This is a very good way to see it. Happy, blessed, considered fortunate, to be admired is the man who finds skillful and godly wisdom. And the man who gains understanding and insight, learning from God's word and life's experience. I believe that's really key here. You can sit there and you can memorize the whole Bible, but you got to put it in to God's word and life's experience. There's where the Rhema word comes to. That's where life comes to you, is when you start to put the word into practice versus in your life experiences. You understand what I'm saying? If it's just a word, you're never going to live out the power of the word. You got to take the word of God and place it within your life experiences. And the man who gains understanding and insight, learning from God's word and life's experiences, for wisdom's profit is better than the profit of silver, and her gain is better than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days are in her right hand, and her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all those who retain her. This is a very good definition of why wisdom in our life will... This is why we want to put wisdom in our life. This is the result of putting wisdom in our life, or the value of putting wisdom in our life. Living out our days is the number one thing. In her right hand. Why does he use right and left? Well, your right hand is your dominant hand. Okay? For most people. Right hand. You're a lefty? Sorry, we won't hold that against you. Go try to buy a trowel to put glue down. Yeah, everything's backwards. Yeah, I know. Eh? So, see? Your dominant hand. The dominant hand is your right hand. What's Jesus saying? I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. That's why Jesus came. What's he saying? What's he saying here to us? He's saying the greatest benefit to putting wisdom in your life is long life. We talked a little bit about this in John 10:10. I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. That word is Zoe, or the God kind of life. That's the number one reason that we want to apply wisdom into our life, is so that we can take on and live the God kind of life, or the nature of God in our life is the better way to put it. Having the nature of God manifests itself in us. That's the number one reason, the dominant reason, that we want to put wisdom into our life. John 1:4 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. That scripture was very vague to me. In him was the life of man. Light stands for development in this scripture. So really what Jesus was saying here is, Jesus was saying, In Jesus was life, the dominant of life, and in him was the development of John. If you want to develop yourself, you've got to increase in wisdom. Again, what is wisdom? Again, wisdom is acquiring the knowledge of the Father and Jesus, in our case, who he is. So as we acquire the knowledge, and knowledge is just knowledge, it's book knowledge, you learn by studying. Study to show thyself approved. That's what Timothy talks about. If you're not putting something in, you're never going to be able to have anything to draw out of. So really what he's saying is, get the Word of God. Jesus was the Word, and the Word became flesh, and that's the development of who we are. That's how we develop ourselves. That's how we grow, is through applying the Word of God within our lives, the wisdom of God. In Jesus is my growth, my expansion, and my enlargement. If I want to increase my capacity with God or man, it's got to come through increasing my capacity in the Word of God. You've got to start drawing the Word of God into you, into your mind. Remember, we talked a little bit about this Thursday. The mind is the battlefield. That's where the enemy attacks you. But if you do not draw the Word of God into our minds, it will never deposit into our heart. Wisdom is the heart part. But you've got to be disciplined enough to bring the Word of God into your mind. In Jesus is my ability to increase my capacity. Back in Proverbs 3:16 here, I want to read this to you. Length of days are in her right hand, and her left hand are riches and honor. As you increase in wisdom, length of days, the eternal life, Zoe, the God kind of life, is the ultimate benefit. But according to verse 16 here, in length of days are in her right hand, and her left hand are what? Riches and honor. You want to be rich, you want to have honor in life, if you want the promises of God to start manifesting in your left hand, your needs being met according to his riches and glory, you better first find length of days. Because the left hand is just as important. Why do you have two hands? Because sometimes it takes two hands to grasp everything. It takes both of them. And we don't want to discount the riches and the honor. There are precious promises within this book here. There are. He said, whatever we put our hands to will prosper. He will meet our needs according to his riches and glory. He has given us all things to enjoy. That means if you enjoy a boat, you get to have a boat. If you want a fast car, you can have a fast car. Those are things that he's given us to enjoy. But first of all comes what? Eternal life. And then in the left hand, as you're concentrating on the right hand, the left hand is scooping all the goodies in. Amen? I'll use my kids for an example. Bring them in here, have candy all over. And what do you get? You get kids that run in, jump on the floor, and start scooping. Right hand, left hand, as much as they can get. Think about your Halloween days when you're going on Halloween. You got home from school at 3 o'clock. You got ready, and you got out there as quick as you can so that you could Halloween up and down every street in every neighborhood so you could fill 8 bags. And that way, that's the way it was when I was a kid. And you came home with all these, well, we used, what do you call that? Pillow cases. Yes, because they held more. Think about it. We didn't use no little stinking bag. We used pillow cases. We came home with bags of candy. Back then it was a little easier to Halloween. You could trust people. Today, go trunk or treating. But I'm just saying is, as you apply the word in your life, all the other good things, they'll just start to pile in. You don't have to go seeking, and there's been a lot of unbalance within the body of Christ here. because everyone wants the goodies. You know, we're faith people. We got to, you know, this and that. It's not the goodies you're after. It's the wisdom you're after. When you have the wisdom, the goodies will just come. So we keep our eyes on that. Amen? So we see the value of wisdom. Wisdom is increasing our capacity or our understanding, our insight of knowledge of God and Jesus. That's what we're responsible for. Now, I'm going to read this to you. I got this right as we were in the room over here. I never understood this. Well, actually, I was just doing some reading in there. I came across this. This is how this came. This is 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4. It's not going to be on the screen. I was just doing just a little bit of reading. I came across these scriptures. This is Peter. This is Peter. Now, you need to understand, this is Peter right before they crucified him, upside down, because they crucified Peter, and he didn't want to be crucified like Jesus, so they crucified him upside down right before he was getting ready to die. This is his words to us. This is God's word to us. Simon Peter, bondservant and the apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power, think about what I just shared with you. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of who? Him, who called us by his glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of what? The divine nature, having escaped the corruption of this world through its lust. What's Peter saying right here? As you grow in the wisdom of God, as you grow in your knowledge of God, you are going to partake of the divine nature. And in that, all the precious promises will manifest itself in your life. Your job is to know the Father and Jesus, his Son. As you apply yourself in that, all the other goodies in life, all the things that we run around. Remember it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added unto you. As you seek God, as you seek his divine nature, everything else in your life will fall into line. Boom, 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 boom. He'll put it all back together for you. You're not responsible for putting your life back together. You're responsible for seeking the Father, knowing the Father, knowing the power of the Holy Ghost. You seek those things, and everything else in your life will start to line up. Not, a lot of times, not in the timing that you want, but in his timing, he'll start to straighten things out. I call this, get rid of stinking thinking. We all have stinky thinking. Because we all start at a point of not knowing God. And before we come into the knowledge of God, we're just trying to survive. And we're taking a lot of advice from a lot of things or people that don't know God, that don't have wisdom. And all of a sudden we become born again. That's why it's important. It says, do not forsake the gathering of the brethren. I mean, that's why he wants us coming together. That's why he wants us doing what we do on Thursday night. Why? It sharpens us. It gets us together. Spend time with other godly people. Listen to sermons. Read books. And get godly wisdom. And then as you're doing life, you'll all say, whoa, whoa, whoa. Because our nature is to always revert back to what we know. And as we're doing life, we'll go, wait, wait, wait. Didn't I hear that at church one day? Well, let's try it this way. You give the opportunity for the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And as you step out, man, that worked. And when they start to work in your life, you go, wow, let's get a couple more gems and start putting them together in our life. And that's why I encourage you. If what we're doing is so right here, we should be telling people. If what we're doing is so right within these walls and you're getting something from it, you should be telling people. That's how the fame of Jesus spread. Jesus didn't have a bullhorn or, what do you call that, a Facebook page. You know, I mean, he didn't have it. He just did things with people, us, and they started talking about it. I can't believe what I just heard in church. Can you believe what this idiot said? But it worked. And you get excited about it. You know, as you're doing life, if what you believe we're doing here on Sunday is of value, we should be telling other people, hey, look it, man. This is what's happening over here. Invite them. I'll guarantee you invite them, I'll cast the net. That's all I can do. Jesus is the one that brings the increase. But as you're doing life, as you're getting excited about life or what God's doing, your wisdom, your understanding of who God is, just say, hey, boom. Come and hear what I heard. That's how Jesus made his disciples. Who's the disciple that he goes, what good thing could come out of Nazareth? When I think one of the brothers, Nathaniel. Nathaniel. His brother comes back from hearing Jesus, and he's sitting there doing his nets or whatever he's doing. He says, what good thing could come out of? Well, come and see. That's what we're to do. As God works in your life, as he gives you insight, you go share it with him. Man, you're not going to believe what I heard. And in the negative, too. I got talking to a guy about seed time and harvest one time. This is in an old church. I laughed so much about it. You know, and I was all excited about it. You know, hey, you know, we got to sow, we got to do this. And I'm just preaching to this guy. Well, he wasn't ready for it. So he ran from me to the pastor of the church. You're not going to believe what this idiot thinks. I mean, that's exactly what came back to me. And I said, well, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. I mean, the word is the word. But it is. Well, sooner or later, he came around to it. But it wasn't me. All I was just to do was spreading the seed. You're not responsible for it to come to maturity. Go look that up, because we did a little bit of studying that. I mean, some falls on rocky ground. Mine fell on rocky ground, man. It got scorched right then and there, baby. It didn't bear anything. But as you're doing life, acquire wisdom, share. They overcome by the what? The blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony. Share what God's given you. That's your responsibility. And there's where we grow in the wisdom. As you're growing in wisdom, all your life will line up. Your life will start to line up. And you'll start to have the answers to your questions. Amen? Father, we just thank you for your word. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that your word never returns void. That it always, always brings a crop, Father. And Lord, I just pray over my brothers and sisters this week, as we go through this week, Father. Lord, lay one person across our path that we can share your word with. What you're doing in my life, Father, what excites me about your word, Father. And Lord, give me the boldness and the courage to stand up and just say, hey, this is what he's doing. You want to be a part of it. In Jesus' name, amen.